Hi, I'm Doug.
And I'm Gabe.
And this is Learning at Work.
Each episode, we talk with a different professional about some obstacle they face at their job.
Then we sort of judo flip it and turn it into an opportunity to build new and valuable skills.
And we call this process an iris meeting. Why do we call it that?
Why do we call it that?
We'll explain that later. So, Doug, another episode, another iris meeting. Who did you talk to this week?
Talk to Megan. She is a young professional who is making her way in the recruiting world.
Okay. And what do we need to know about Megan? What's going on with Megan?
Well, right now she's on the precipice of leaping from one job into the next. And she's struggling with how to make the leap.
This is within the same organization, right?
Within the same organization, and it's a small organization. And she's excited about the idea, but she's not really sure how to navigate it.
She's about to level up, but is a little stressed about that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so we have a really good conversation. I can't wait to share it with you guys. So why don't you start just by telling us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, so I am a recruiter. Day-to-day, my responsibility focuses primarily around managing candidates through the process. So working with candidates throughout the interview process, both, you know, being a main point of contact for them, constantly checking in with them in regards to the interview process, scheduling interviews, but also kind of building, being a relationship builder as well. So building that relationship with them, talking to them about the interviews, about the process. Yeah.
And what do you find to be the most challenging part of all that?
So the most challenging part of that is probably prioritization. So how do you plan your day? How do you reprioritize throughout the day as things come up that weren't planned? And how do you kind of prioritize different activities throughout the day? Of something came up, but I had something scheduled at 3, but this is more important. You know, you can try and map it out as much as possible. This person's normally free from 1 to 2. This person's normally free from 5 to 6. But at the same time, like, sometimes people will just call in, or some people won't call in, or it's kind of managing those different schedules with my own schedule, with the things that just come up.
Yeah, great. So you know how a commit meeting is basically broken down into 3 parts. We've got the focus, the action, and the vision, right? So when we talk about a focus, there are 3 ways that I help people to find a focus. I mean, sometimes I say, what do you want to focus on? They say, thank God, I thought no one would ever ask me that. I know exactly what I want to focus on, right?
Yeah.
And that happens. But often people are like, geez, there's so much I could focus on. I don't even know how to think about that, right? So I use these 3 kind of shortcuts, which is attention, a pressure, and an improvement. So attention is like some sort of like awkward feeling you have that something just isn't quite right, right? And it's not so overwhelming that you have to deal with it, but if you did deal with it, you might find that it's taking up way more bandwidth than you thought it was, and actually by getting it out of the way, you've got all this bandwidth that you can use for other things, you know? So that's attention. A pressure is like something's coming up soon, and I want to get it right. Right. So it's not a bad thing. It's just sort of like, you know, I'm feeling a little pressure and I would probably do this thing anyway. Yeah. But if I use it as my focus for a commit, I will approach it more mindfully, perhaps. And the third is an improvement, which is just like your job is complex. You do lots of different things. Which of the things that you do would you like to do better? And it doesn't necessarily mean you're terrible at it. It's just like if I was better at this, it would make a big difference. Like it's a high leverage kind of focus. So when I talk about attention and pressure improvement, what comes to mind for you?
So all 3 of them come to mind, but around the same thing.
Yeah, that's fine. We don't have to name it one of the 3. It's they're just 3 ways of finding it.
Okay, cool. So it is starting to take on more responsibilities in different places. So coming back to the prioritization side of things, a lot of my day is prioritizing in my day-to-day role, I think I've learned how to navigate that prioritization. But as I'm starting to take on more and different responsibilities from, you know, the same job I've been doing for the past year, I'm struggling to learn how to reprioritize my day and prioritize around my new or upcoming or, you know, already taken on responsibilities that I didn't have 3 months ago.
So you've got all these potential new responsibilities that you want to start working on.
Yeah.
But you still have just as much work as you always have.
Yep.
If not more, because you're kind of a leader in that arena.
Exactly.
So how do you take on that new stuff without letting go of some of the old stuff? Or do you not let go of the old stuff and just work twice as hard?
Yeah, pretty much. Or work smarter than twice as hard. Like, is there a way that I could optimize the way I used to work in order to improve there and free up some of my schedule for some of the new responsibility that I'm taking on?
So it would seem that the implication in you bringing this up as a focus is that you do believe on some level that it is possible.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it's just you haven't quite found the way to do it yet.
Yeah.
I think it's important to kind of acknowledge that, because there are situations where, like, you would like something to be another way, but it's just literally not possible, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like this one is possible. You just have to, you can't quite see the solution yet.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think I can navigate through it, but I think I've just been so overwhelmed by it. I haven't actually, you know, sat down to kind of draw the map to navigate it.
Yeah, that's great. Now that we've got a focus, we turn our attention to the action, right? So putting down specific actions that you're going to take makes it much more likely that you're actually going to follow through and do something about it. I like to think of the action as the moment in the commit meeting where it goes from being like, so what do you want to complain about? To like, okay, that's great. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Right? It's sort of the personal responsibility moment.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you do about it this week to begin to chip away at it?
So I think one of the things I need to do are actually write down what I do now, what I'm struggling with handling now, and what I think I'm going to be taking on soon. Like actually write it down or type it up or put it somewhere where I can stare at it and start to kind of visualize it as I'm moving forward.
You really feel like the first step is just to like wrap your head around what it is you're going to need to be taking on in this new role as you begin to kind of warm up to it.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's not as overwhelming as it is in your head.
Very possible.
Right? Or maybe it's more overwhelming, but at least you'll like know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. So how would you go about doing that? Like, what specific actions would you take in order to wrap your head around that?
So I think one thing that I could do is look at the IRIS and some of the responsibilities that have been added to my IRIS. I think another thing that I could do is to talk to some of the more senior members in the firm around what they would prioritize for me to take on too, because I don't think I need to take on everything all at once, and I don't think I necessarily need to be the one to make the decision of what I need to take on. So kind of leverage them in helping me prioritize, you know, what's most important, what should I be paying attention to first?
Yeah, that's good. So we've got two actions here. One is look at the IRIS for this next role I'm taking on and wrap my head around what these responsibilities are, so I've got more of a concrete sense of it rather than this abstract kind of overwhelming sense.
Yeah.
And two is talk to people who are in a position to understand all these different new things I'd be taking on and ask them, where should I begin? You know, where should I start and how should I start?
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's turn our attention to the vision. Okay, the vision is like, what do you hope to be able to report? How do you feel on the other end of this? How is the world a different place? How is your mind more at ease? How are you more kind of in the mix rather than on the outside going, yeesh, I'm kind of scared to jump in here.
Yeah, I think, or I want to have a clearer understanding of, you know, my responsibilities rather than just this abstract idea that's a combination of what I've looked at so far and what I've presented in my own head. So a more concrete idea of the actual responsibilities of the role in its entirety. And then from speaking to those directly above me, a more concrete idea of, you know, the responsibilities that are a priority for me, and then some action on some of those responsibilities as well. You know, as a result of this conversation and me looking at the IRIS, I've actually started to do X. And maybe I haven't done it well yet, but I've started to do X, and I'm starting to navigate my way through that part of the role.
Yeah, so now you've gone from essentially being clueless to being a beginner, right? I mean, there's no expectation that you would be an expert, but you're on your way.
Yeah.
And that'll probably feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great.
So this made me think of job math.
Job math? What do you mean by that?
So, you know, when we talk about this with clients and with other people, we talk about the four questions that every employee has to answer. And every organization should be able to answer for their employees. And question number one is, what's my job?
Right.
And it seems like such a simple and obvious question, but I think most people's experience is that it's kind of hard to answer for a number of different reasons. Maybe the organization just didn't make it very clear in the first place. Like, you know, maybe it was a bad job description. Maybe it was a really fast hire and they were sort of just thrown into the deep end. And I mean, I've had gigs like that. But a lot of it is also that things change over time. You know, markets change, businesses change, customer dynamics change. People come and go and you end up pinch hitting for this person because they left and we haven't filled the gap yet. And after a while, you can get to a point where you're like, man, what am I supposed to be doing here again? And it can change based on your learning curve, right? Like you've been doing the same gig for a while and you've slowly taken on more things as you're trying to get to the next level, which is a lot of what I heard here. And you're saying, well, how much of that should I be doing in order to get to that next level?
Right. Well, now Megan's in an interesting situation, which is that she's on the precipice of leaping to her next job. Mm. And she's trying to figure out what that job is. So it's not that she's trying to figure out what her current job is. She knows her current job. She knows it so well that, frankly, she's ready to leave it. But she doesn't really understand what she's getting into.
A great way to figure that out. And it's a very, I think, some might see as a very boring and uninspiring and practical kind of way, or tactical kind of way, is to do what I call job math. And that's literally figure out what do you do all day. So it goes like this. Take a look at your calendar. Take a look at your to-do list. And find the activities that you do all day. And that could be things as mundane as like answering emails, making phone calls, going to meetings. That's a little bit abstract. Maybe there are certain kinds of meetings. Maybe there's a weekly planning meeting that you go to with your team. Maybe they are client sales call meetings. Those are very different kinds of meetings, right? But nonetheless, you do them. They're going to be on your calendar. The things that you check off, and at the end of the week, you say, I did my job. This is what I contributed to the company.
Yeah, and some of the things you do are going to be pretty sophisticated, and some of the things you do are going to be pretty straightforward.
Right, but they're going to be time-bound, and that's important. They're going to last for 15 minutes or 30 minutes or 60 minutes or 90 minutes, but like there's a start and an end point to it, you know? And then there's a frequency level. So now you've got a list of the things that you do. How often do you do them? How long do they take, and how often do you do them? If it's a weekly team planning meeting, let's say it's 60 minutes and it happens once a week, that's 50 hours a year that you do that particular thing. There are different ways to do it, right? But you could come up with some kind of an estimate.
So why is this job math important to Megan, to our conversation about Megan?
So I think there are two things that people discover when they do job math, I've noticed. Number one is they discover the things that they do very rarely are quite important. And they haven't realized that they need to build those skills, even though they don't do them very often. So for example, annual strategy planning, maybe, you know, like maybe it's something that you only do once a year or twice a year. But when you think of the impact that it has on the organization or on your job, where you think of the value that it delivers, if you come out of that strategy meeting, you know, having been really successful because you've got the skills and the fluency to do it really well, that's going to have a massive impact on the way the rest of the year unfolds. But because it's not something you do every day or every week or even every month, it's not that visible. And you fail to see the value in developing the skills needed to be good at that. But one of the things I see people do is take for granted the things that they do on a regular daily basis, and they don't realize how they accumulate and therefore the impact that they have. And email is a good example of that. Like, you're writing emails all the time, but because we don't often, it's just email. It's just that thing that you have to do. We don't see the leverage that it has within our daily life. It's like, what's that joke about the two fish that are hanging out, you know, talking with each other, and the other older fish swims by and he says, "Morning, boys, how's the water?" And then he swims on, and the other two fish look at themselves and they go, "What the hell's water?" Right? Like, it's just so ubiquitous. It's around you so much. You just forget it. You take it for granted. Yeah. And so job math helps you realize, and be like, holy cow, 25% of my job is writing email. Like, if I was a little bit better at this, I would affect 25% of what I do all day. You know?
So if Megan were to do job math, how would that help her, do you think? She's
feeling overwhelmed, right?
She's feeling overwhelmed because she feels like she kind of has to do two jobs at the same time until she can let go of the old one.
Right. What I heard was a sense of being overwhelmed by abstraction. And what she needed to do was somehow tie down all of the different parts of her current role and the role that she's working towards, and sort of make sense, sort through, and kind of triage or prioritize them, so that she could figure out, what are the things that I really need to focus on? What are the things that I need to be developing myself in? And what are the things that maybe I don't need to worry about so much? And I think job math helps that, right? Because it allows you to kind of quantify the gig, you know? And I think two things would probably happen. Number one, she would realize that there's way more than 40 hours a week's worth of work that has to be done in both of these things. And just having that awareness that, like, this is probably more than any one person should be expected to do is a bit of a relief, right? Because, like, okay, I'm not an idiot. I'm not incompetent, you know? And then number two is she's faced with, okay, if I've got 60 hours worth of work in these roles, I got to find a way to get rid of 20. And it's not going to be that precise.
Right.
Right. But it allows you to break it down and compartmentalize it, and it gives you something tangible to start working with. And by listing these things out, you can start to see where the real leverage points are. When you're overwhelmed, sometimes the best thing to do is stop for a minute and reorient yourself and make sense of the situation rather than just run harder and faster. I mean, this is a classic work trap, right? I've got so much to do. If I can just work harder, if I can just spend more hours at the office, if I can just make more calls per hour, you know, it's very self-defeating. Like, you have to work smart as well as hard. So yeah, I think job math is a tool in your toolbox for understanding either what you do all day and making sense of it, or understanding another job or communicating that job to someone.
Yeah, I think that it also needs to be said that this is an exciting moment for Megan. I mean, it's somewhat stressful in the sense that she's not really sure what's going to happen, but that's also the same reason it's exciting, right? She doesn't know what's going to happen.
Right, there's possibility.
Yeah, so she's about to leap into a whole new realm where things are going to be harder than they've been for her for the past couple of years, because she's kind of mastered her job. And all of a sudden, she's not going to be a master. She's going to be a beginner again.
This is how you keep good talent, right? Is you give them a sense of possibility, and every once in a while, you shake things up. When you don't do that, people get bored, and bored people quit.
Well, that's our show.
A big thanks to our producer, Maren Lazian, who makes us sound way smarter than we are.
If you'd like to be a guest on this podcast and get your own Iris meeting, just send an email to podcast@cultivateme.xyz.
You can find more episodes and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Learning at Work.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Gabe.
Thanks for listening.